This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's not so bad with the shaking of the tukas.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
I'm ready for sex.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. 24-7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at tomeverywhere.com. That's tomeverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again, you and me. And here we are with a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And we continue with our friend, criminal defense attorney, Adam Sachs.
Hey.
Adam in studio, as you know, because we've been talking for the past hour. And now we are here to talk all criminal matters and to bring you some free legal advice. And you can start diving in for Adam right now by calling 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's our number here. 901-3000-866. Adam, criminal defense, what are we talking about here?
So the other day, Tom, I'm in my kitchen, I think, and I'm in like a bathrobe or something, and I look out the window, and there's a guy in my backyard with a chainsaw. This is not a horror movie.
Really?
He's cutting down a tree.
In your yard?
That's right. Just like
really?
That.
Really?
I think I'm imagining things, you know. You know, like in your mind, you like rub your eyes a little, you know, like maybe I'm still sleeping or something. So I go into my yard, and this guy is, you know, hard at work. And I said to him, "What the hell's going on?" And he said, "This tree is hitting the neighbor's house or whatever, and so I've got to cut, you know, the tree down." And I said, I'm sorry, no one discussed this with me, that's not right. And he just was kind of a jerk about it. So I called the police. I didn't call 911, it wasn't like life or death. I called this, like they have a non-emergency number. And, you know, pretty good reaction. About 10 minutes later, they have two cars pull up to my house. And they went and talked to this guy and took care of it for me, which was good. It was all, you know, very peaceful. But, you know, when I was talking to the cop who arrived, you know, I don't know, I'm wearing not my suit, but I'm wearing like a T-shirt, you know. And here I am with this cop, and he's an older guy, and, you know, he was courteous. But I don't know, it's a cop. You know, there's definitely some dynamic to that. A lot of people have called me, and this is why I mentioned the story. There's a whole lot of people that have called me that have been listening to the show for years, and they remember all the things I tell them. And they tell me that when they were in the situation, particularly, let's say, getting pulled over for a DUI, that they remember what I told them, which is not to talk, not to discuss it, not to do the tests, especially not to field sobriety test or the blow test, and then they do it anyway. And I'm always frustrated.
No.
I always say, geez, you know, I mean, it's one thing if you didn't know any better, but they're regular listeners, and they, you know, understand it, and they said that my voice and my words and my instructions were in their head. They could hear it, and they still basically confessed and screwed themselves, basically. They made the case that I'm going to defend much more difficult to defend.
And I am guessing, having talked to so many of these guys,
yeah,
that they heard you when they were sober.
Right.
And let's face it, they were drunk. The cop pulled them over, and suddenly all reason went out the window. They were scared to death, and the cop scared them.
That's what I have to talk about.
Yeah.
Now, I was talking to this police officer, and he was investigating something that I actually called him for. In other words, I was not a suspect. If anything, my neighbor was trespassing on my yard, and I could have actually written a complaint about it. I didn't, because he's my neighbor, whatever. I let it go. But I just remember talking to this cop, and the dynamic is weird. I mean, I think that as children, you know, I remember in like first or second grade, they talk to you about like if you get lost, you should go talk to the police, you know, find a policeman, tell him you're lost. that the police are you know, protecting you. But then there's, like, you know, a lot of the stuff we see on television with these cops that are, like, shooting people and, you know, supposedly unjustified, or the guy, you know, was innocent and the cops beat him up. And, you know, we all grew up, especially this generation, generation before, with, like, the Rodney King beating. That video was all over the news for a long time, and when I was, you know, younger and stuff. And there's a lot of really weird feelings, and a lot of people fall into that thing where the police represent, in a way, like your parents, you know, like the authority figure. And people get into that thing. There's a game that the police play, which is called Good Cop, Bad Cop. And this is something where they take you back to the station, and one cop is really nasty to you. And he says to you, you're a piece of crap, you're going down, I hate scumbags like you, you know. Then he leaves, and then you're sitting there for a couple of minutes waiting. And then this other guy comes in, and he's also a cop, but he gives you a cup of coffee. He offers you a cigarette, and he says, hey, you know, don't worry about my partner, you know, he's crazy, but, you know, I'm not like that, you know, maybe we can just talk about what happened. And what ends up happening is they kind of switch back and forth a few times. And when the person keeps getting scared by the bad cop, after a couple of cycles, he confesses to the good cop, because he kind of perceives that he's more friendly and more kind. And the good cop tells him, you know, kind of psychology, if you tell me what happened, it'll be okay, you know. And that starts to make sense, you know. And what people don't recognize, you know, you have to really keep in mind who the police are and where they're coming from. You know, very often there was a kid in school that got beaten up and got bullied by the other kids. He becomes a cop, seriously. And a lot of these people get into that kind of thing, and that sense of authority permeates their lives, you know. I've talked to people who've said to me, you know, my father was in the Navy or whatever, and he was really into it, and he became, like, when they was a father, he was like a drill instructor, you know. And in the family, he barked orders at everyone, also the mother even, you know. And people kind of fall into some of that kind of, like, authoritative stuff. And police, you know, generally speaking, I think are pretty professional. But, you know, you got to be aware that their job is really at odds with you. You know, from their point of view, their job, when they pull you over, you know, it's really good for them if they arrest you and if they charge you with things. That's good for them. That's called collaring. That's something that gives them promotions, that gives them credit. And so they're in an absolutely different position than you, you know, and they understand the law. They study it. So when you say, I don't want to talk, I want my lawyer, you know, they understand that. And in our society, you know, they're not going to beat you up to get you to confess. Normally speaking, if you understand your rights, and I've always said this, these people that you see that end up getting their asses kicked by cops are cursing at them and screaming at them and acting in ways that scare the cops. And the cops overreact sometimes. You know, cops get shot very, very often during routine stops. And they don't know you. You know, people always figure, I'm nonviolent. Well, cops don't know you. And if you're, you know, from their point of view, on drugs or you're drunk or whatever, you know, you may be very uninhibited and you may go crazy on them. And they don't want that to happen either. But they're also concerned about their own safety and their partner's safety. So, you know, if you jump out of the car and start screaming and yelling like a crazy person, they are going to react in kind. On the other hand, if you're reasonable and professional, and you just, you know, get your wits about you, and even like Tom said, if you're a little bit tipsy or drunk or whatever, and you just say, officer, I don't want to do those tests, and I really want to talk to a lawyer. That's pretty much it. And, you know, you can say it any way you want to say it. I've had a lot of people say to the police officer, I'm sorry, officer, it's not me, my lawyer told me not to talk, I with respect, I you know, I want to assert my Fifth Amendment right, and I really don't want to be interviewed. Right? Well, that's fair. I mean, what, do you think the cop's going to kick your ass because you said that? I mean,
Well, and by the way, that's an interesting question. Because many times now on TV, and we have many listeners who are people of color, for example, you are watching body cam video of cops smashing heads. And so there are people who are afraid of that, and I'd be willing to bet, maybe I'm wrong, that there are some people who might be endangering themselves.
I don't believe it.
Really?
I think the cops are petrified of people of color now, to be honest. I actually read that there are statistics that it's more likely for the police to get violent with you if you're white. I think that they're really sensitive to it. And I think they know when they're pulling over a black woman or a Latino man or whatever, I think they're nervous. They don't want anything bad to happen. They don't want to have a little racial incident or whatever. And, you know, this ends up devastating their careers. And, you know, they just want to get home and not have problems. And so, I mean, I've seen this thing. They've shown these, as you talk about the body cam, where the person starts screaming at the cop, you know, you're only pulling me over because I'm black, you know, or whatever. I mean, that's the last thing they want to get involved with. And your demeanor is everything. Honestly, Tom. I know there's racism. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. And I think if I was a person of color, I would be nervous too. I understand that. But I think it's very, very important to call the cop, you know, officer and sir, and be compliant. Don't be stupid, you know. If you're reaching, for example, in your glove compartment to get your license or whatever, your registration, you know, you say to the officer what you're doing. Don't make a sudden motion. You know, I'm telling you, they're super nervous. They don't know who you are. They don't know if you're going to pull out a gun or whatever the hell's going on. So you say, officer, you know, you have your hands on the wheel. That's a good thing. They can see your hands. Hands kill. So they're looking at your hands. And they say, you say, officer, I'm going to reach into the glove compartment if you don't mind, and I'm going to get you the registration. And he's going to say, okay, go ahead, you know, do it slow. And here it is. And sir, I'm sorry, officer, why did you pull me over, you know? If you're screaming at, hey, I didn't do nothing. Why do you come, you know, fuck you. I mean, you got to be out of your mind. I can't believe people do that. And if you watch the body cam stuff on YouTube, a lot of people do that. And that's nutty. Now,
but part of the problem with this lack of judgment,
you're drunk, maybe.
You're going to tell the judge you weren't drunk, but you are drunk, and that's why you're acting that way.
I was just getting to that.
Okay.
There is a big difference in demeanor and all the circumstances of what happened to you. The one thing that police do, and you'll also find that nurses and doctors do this, is they're taught to write everything down. And this comes up in the court case. And the judge will ask the officer, how did this person respond? How did he behave? You know? And in the report, if they say Mr. Likas was extremely belligerent and uncooperative, all of a sudden you don't get bail. Or your bail is much higher. And you're going to end up having problems. When I talk to the police, and let's say this is a not something as dramatic as a DUI, but I, as you know, I do like speeding tickets, for example. When I say to the police officer, hey, officer, you know, we're talking in the hallway in court. I say, officer, can you do me a favor? Can you let this one go? You know, you're saying he did 68. It was a 65. He's never been arrested before. You know, he doesn't have any other tickets. He's a good guy. Blah, blah, blah. He was driving his kid to school. He was a few minutes late. The cop will say, you know what? Fine. Screw it. And let it go. I've had tons of cops do that. On the other hand, if you're a jerk, the cop remembers you. And the cop says, you know something? This guy was an asshole to me. He was really nasty. He was cursing at me. He yelled at my partner. I'm not letting it go. So, I mean, that's also, if you look at it from his point of view, that's very reasonable. You know, you treated him nasty. Why should he do you a favor and let it go? So I think that it's very, very important when you look at the totality of circumstances. And I'm not saying people talk about respect and all this. Yeah, we're not talking about saving face here, okay? I think if you speak respectfully, you tell them what you're doing, you don't act crazy, and you're compliant, which means when they ask you to get out of the car, you get out of the car. These people that get into, why should I get out of the car? I didn't do anything. You know, that's just stupid. Let them do their job. Follow the process. You're going to be fine. And it's going to make a difference later, because when I end up talking to that cop in court, he's going to say, yeah, you know, your client was all right. He wasn't so bad. You got pulled over once, and the cop just asked for a picture, right?
Yes, that was yes.
On, see,
yes, I was on the 110 freeway. Cop pulled me over, and I think he was going to try to get me for talking on the phone.
Oh,
before I had a speakerphone in my car.
Uh-oh.
And once I opened the door and opened the window, and I said, can I help you? And he started telling me what I did, and I said, well, I'm very sorry about that.
Okay, hold on. That's good. You apologized, right?
I told him, I'm on my way to work,
right.
And I'm late.
I'm nervous. I'm sorry.
I said, I'm late to do my radio show.
Oh, well, there you go. Not everyone has that to say.
No, I know, but the point is, the whole demeanor.
Right.
Completely turned, and I was taking a selfie within 30 seconds.
There you go.
And it worked out great. But there was one time things didn't work out great, and I even hired an attorney who was not you, and I'm going to tell you what
dear.
It was. I probably told you this years ago.
Tom, you two-timed me.
I didn't really know you. This is that many years ago now in Culver City when we were working in Culver City. I was in the left turn lane right in front of the studio on Washington Boulevard in Culver City. And the light turned to a green arrow. And I'm the fourth car, and I cannot see the first, second, or third car. I see the third car. Can't see the other cars. So, sure enough, the light changes, and nobody's moving. And I did what I always do. I tapped on my horn. Beep, beep. So that person will move.
Right.
And the first guy was a cop.
Oh, shit.
Who himself was, like, essentially asleep at the wheel and blocking up the left turn.
I think I heard the story.
Yeah. So he pulled me over. He's going to give me a ticket for disturbing the peace.
Well, dear.
And so what I did was I went out and hired an attorney. And I hired somebody who was expensive. And he showed up in court. And he was clearly one of these expensive downtown attorneys who gets involved with celebrity cases and what have you. And so we went to court. It was in Santa Monica. We went to court. It was a female judge. The cop got there. My attorney did what you do. My attorney, we had time to kill,
right.
Went over and met with the cop.
Right.
And he said, come on, really? We're here about this? And I overheard the transaction. The cop finally agreed not to go ahead with the case.
All right. All right.
But here's what happened. Female judge says to the attorney,
oh, no.
Says to the cop, did he talk you into doing this? Points to the attorney. Did he talk you into doing this?
Thanks a lot, Judge.
You know, you don't have to keep that commitment. You can tell me what happened.
Uh-huh.
So sure enough, the cop went up with the original lie. He was going to tell that I was leaning on the horn for like a minute. And it's a he said, she said, or he said, he said. The judge believed the cop, and that was that. So I spent, I don't even want to say how much I spent, but it was in the four-figure range for this morning in court in Santa Monica, plus to get my parking validated and everything else.
I think you got to get away from female judges, man.
Guess what? He should have known. The attorney should have known. And, you know, he knew who I was, but obviously didn't think about that. And so sure enough, I ended up having to pay the $281 fine for disturbing the peace.
But, you know, we do agree that, you know, demeanor is very important.
Yes.
You know this in business.
And
having an attorney.
You see, even though I had that experience,
right.
I would never go unprepared and without an attorney. I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah. No, that's true, too, of course. I think that attitude counts a lot. And I am trying to talk about this story about me calling the police myself with regard to my neighbor.
Yeah.
Because it is a weird vibe. I definitely can see it. Standing there talking to this cop who's in full uniform with his badge and his gun and everything. It's weird. It's a confusing thing for people. And I think you just have to keep your wits about you. And, you know, your demeanor and your approach, your appearance is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're black or white or you're tattooed or you're the straightest person in the world, if you speak respectfully, I think you're going to do a lot better. And it's going to help a lot more later when I'm representing you in court.
Absolutely.
So bear that in mind in spite of everything.
Absolutely. And we should say, Adam has defended many of my traffic tickets, and I don't think there's been a case where the officer said that I was being a jerk or that I was being...
And by the way, aside from this apparently famous lawyer you hired, who apparently lost...
He lost.
I've won every single case I ever did for you.
You have.
And it's getting into the big numbers now.
And now we're going to be heading into court on December 2nd.
Yeah, I'm not going to lose that one either.
No. I'm looking forward to seeing you in action. And the amazing thing is all this these years we've known each other, you've always taken care of these cases for me. I've never had to be in the
right,
courtroom.
That's true.
So this is the first time I'm actually going to see you in action.
Oh, dear.
All I've seen is the results, which have been perfect so far.
All right, thanks.
I'm looking forward to it. All right, we'll take a break. Adam Sachs is here, criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs, and Adam can answer your legal questions. This is free legal advice for you. And that means you can call in, and whether it's a DUI, you've been accused of drunk driving, you've been accused of drug possession, you've been accused of, I don't know, physical violence, maybe you need a restraining order. Now, I'm even more fascinated now with restraining orders now that I went and got one.
Think about restraining orders now.
I've always been fascinated, and now it's even more so.
Uh-huh.
But whatever it is, if somebody thinks you did something and you didn't do it, or they can't prove you did it, or they think you did one thing and you actually did another thing, or you're in the middle of a case where the attorney is screwing up, like the cop said you were leaning on the horn, maybe you need to bring in other counsel. You can call this number right now. 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. 901-3000-TOM. You can call us right now here at 901-3000-866.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank at 901-3000-TOM. We're here with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs, 901-3000-TOM. Here's the number, 901-3000-866. Adam, I've been waiting all week to ask you this question.
Yes?
You know, on Election Day in California, we voted yes on Proposition 64.
Yeah.
The Adult Use of Marijuana Act.
Uh-huh.
And and I don't know how much you know about it, because you know, these propositions all have so many ins and outs, and then when are they effective? Sometimes they're effective the day after Election Day, sometimes the first of the year, sometimes the first of a year from now. What do we know about this proposition? How is it going to change life for people who smoke pot?
Right. Well, what they've done, you know, paradoxically in California compared to, let's say, Colorado or Washington State that just made it legal in general, in California they created a cottage industry. Because you need to get a note from a doctor.
Right.
And so, I mean, I actually have a prescription myself. And the procedure, as I think you know, you have a prescription, as I recall.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's bizarre. You know, you go to a doctor's office, and here's a guy that's, I think, probably retired. He's just doing it for fun or whatever. And he's, you know, just wearing, like, a regular shirt. He's not, like, he doesn't look like, he's a doctor, but he doesn't, like, look like a doctor, I guess is the word. His office doesn't have any medical equipment in it whatsoever. I mean, it doesn't even have a blood pressure machine. And he sits me down, and he's like, so, you having trouble sleeping? I say, yeah. And you're a little nervous? I say, yeah, I'm nervous. And you got backache? I said, yeah, my back hurts, you know. Okay, I'll give you a prescription. And he writes your prescription.
Right.
And this is 5 minutes, is $100 or whatever. And this is how it's been for years. And when you go to the marijuana dispensaries in the stores, they're hysterical. They want to see your prescription
right.
before they even let you in.
Right.
And they actually have an entrance way where there's no marijuana. It's just an entrance area. And you can't get past there until they verify your prescription.
Right.
So I believe it's going to take about a year. But what they're going to do is these dispensaries are going to apply for some kind of a selling retail license. And once they get that, then they won't have to do that step anymore. So you'll be able to walk directly in like a regular store and just buy marijuana. And the advantage is supposed to be that it's going to be taxed, like sales tax, which is actually going to be a higher tax, I think 15% or something, which is sales tax. It's not that much. And then that tax is going to be used for education or, you know, do goody
blah, blah. Bullet trains.
Yeah, well, helping the people or whatever.
Quote, unquote. Mm. iPads for children.
Bullshit trains.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that iPads thing, that was really special. Huh? That really
yep.
worked out.
Building high schools on chemical waste dumps and all the things they've done here in Los Angeles.
Got to put high school somewhere.
Yeah, well.
So the bottom line is that, you know, it's going to take a little while to catch up. But the way it is now in California is kind of the theater of the absurd. The fact that you need the prescription and it's so easy to get, and it created literally, I think, millions and millions of dollars for these doctors who are essentially doing nothing. They're writing prescriptions to probably 99% of the people that show up.
Right.
And they're just basically cashing a lot of checks or whatever. I don't know that that's really something that's necessary. On the other hand, it is kind of odd, if you think about it, that if you want to buy antibiotics, you need a prescription. And when you buy any medicine, the doctor gives you 10 pills or 6 pills or whatever it is. The pharmacy gives you the exact amount, you know, no more, no less. And then they tell you take one pill every 8 hours or whatever.
Right.
With marijuana, I think you can buy a lot. I mean, there's some kind of limit, but it's a lot.
Right.
And you're going to self-administer it. So it's up to you to decide if you smoke, you know, one bowl or 10 bowls or if
right.
you smoke all day or, you, I don't know, whatever. So I don't know.
As much
I don't
as
know
you
how
need.
These, yeah, but how do you, what does that mean? You know, when you get a painkiller prescription, they give you 10 of them and that's it, you know, and you take one every 6 hours. You know, this is marijuana. Who knows? Smoke it until you right. can't smoke anymore. You don't want to or whatever.
Now, here's something I don't understand. All right. Now, are we going to lose some rights under this? Because, for example, I like edibles, and I go to sleep every night, take a certain number of lemon drops or cherry drops.
Really?
Yes, I do. And it works like a charm, and I feel great getting up the next day. It's the exact opposite of drinking booze. You wake up, you're not dehydrated, you don't have a headache. It's really
wow.
an amazing thing. But I understand that now with this Proposition 64 that we all voted on,
yeah.
They're going to eliminate edibles that look like candy.
Well, there is, you know, the whole concern that we hear a million times is, you know, protecting children. I think it's nonsense, generally speaking, but there is a very big concern. When I was a kid, you know, there were these Flintstone vitamins or something like that,
yeah.
which were like sugar, essentially. And there were kids that thought they were candy. They couldn't read. They're a
yeah.
little kid. And they ate half a bottle or something, which is really dangerous, you know. Could overdose on vitamins or whatever it was. And so there is some kind of a concern that you don't want to make it, you know, where a child is going to ingest marijuana because it's obviously, you know, an adult thing. And so there was a concern. If you look at some of the edibles, they are candy-like, you know, lemon drops and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And so there were supposed to be some concerns about that.
By the way, do you know that I told the story on the show, my housekeeper, Raina.
Oh, dear.
Poor Raina. I had my cherry drops sitting out on my nightstand.
Oh, Tom.
And she came through. And, you know, Raina has been my house. Raina and Gary, by the way, have been working with me like the same amount of years. It, literally, Raina started the month before Gary did. With me.
Mr. Tom,
it's been a long time. And so she was coming in to clean up my bedroom.
Please
look at the
me.
Nightstand.
Don't tell me she took one.
Mr. Tom has candy. I just take some candy. Yeah, clearly reading the label would probably be a challenge.
Yeah.
And so she reached right in and she took some candy.
Oh, dear.
So it's not just kids.
How's Raina doing? Did it affect her?
Well, I don't think she had more than one or two,
okay.
and you can make it through the rest of the day that way,
okay.
I think. But the thing, and kids, by the way, put everything in their mouth, including you know, some bud. They'll do that too.
Well, so it's really up to the adults, right, not to be stupid.
This was all done. This was all done politically to help push this through.
Right.
But I would prefer to just have what I have now: all my edibles, everything. I've got a place to go. Pay a reasonable price. I get my weed, my edibles, whatever. And there will be some changes that come along. I believe I read, and this might be too technical even for you, maybe not. I thought I read, although I may be referring to another state, and that's why I'm asking. I thought I read that there's still an advantage to having the medical prescription in that I think people who are smoking recreationally, they'll pay the tax. And I thought I read that people who need it for medical purposes will be exempt from the tax if they show their card. Do we
oh,
know
wow.
if that's true?
No, I missed that.
We need to find out the answer
that's
to that.
That's interesting. So there would be still some advantage to getting a prescription because you wouldn't have to pay the tax. That's kind of hard to believe.
Why?
I think the greedy state wants to stick its hand in the pocket of the marijuana stores.
Well, I understand, but if it's...
and then never let go.
If it's medical, you don't pay tax.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Some state is doing that if it is not us. Here's another one that I heard on the radio when we were in the Bay Area. I was listening to the all-news station, KCBS, up there. And here's what I heard. That in... This story just made me laugh, but it's serious. Now that Proposition 64 passed, They're talking about who's going to get marijuana dispensary licenses,
right.
Who's going to be able to do this. And you're thinking it's just going to be the medical marijuana store that's going to be a piece of cake. But what people don't understand is that in Oakland, the city of Oakland, they're talking about half of the licenses to run dispensaries to go to get this as reparations to people who have been convicted of selling pot in the past.
Oh, my God.
So it's like the...
So that's an advantage
it's like
now?
40 acres and a mule. You got people on the radio going, well, you got to understand, I've been going to jail. They were selling dime bags, and I deserve to get one of these licenses because I spent years in prison.
Wow.
So now they're actually debating this.
Oh, so that actually helps you.
Right.
Wow.
So in other words, they want to find all the criminals who sold pot and say, okay, certain number of you.
You guys know how to do it, obviously.
You're going
you got a lot of background in it.
You know how to do it on the street.
Right.
Right.
So they can become entrepreneurs and do it legally now.
Right.
Far out.
So that they're treating it like black reparations. You know, if you were convicted, and of course it's all implied, these are black people who are put behind bars, we're going to make it up to you now by giving you licenses to sell pot.
Well, that is very innovative thinking.
So it's entirely possible that people who've been doing this will not have the license. They will lose their stores to people who have a criminal background. And so we can make reparations to them.
Far out.
Yes.
I don't know whether to laugh or cry. I don't know what to say. That is bizarre, Tom. That's a 10 for 10 right there.
Yes.
That's over the top.
Right, we're going to take a break. We've got calls coming in here, Adam, and we're going to get to these people. Oh, my goodness. And these are some good calls, too, coming up.
Who are they calling about pot?
One is.
Okay.
One is. Somebody wants to know. Don't answer it now. Somebody wants to know if you can own a gun and have marijuana.
A problem.
Don't answer the question.
Now that's actually come up, right?
Good question, right?
Yep.
And then somebody who has a civil case against him and took his driver's license? We're going to find out about this and more coming up. If you'd like to talk to Adam Sachs, he's criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs, and you can call him on the phone right now, 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number. 901-3000-TOM. Call me right now at 901-3000-TOM. 866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app. Now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. A bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. As you know, Adam is handling my restraining order case. We'll be in the courtroom in downtown Los Angeles on Friday, December 2nd, 8:30 a.m., Gary will not be there.
Dino
will be there. I was looking at Gary when I said it. And Gary and Dino, I hate to say, they both have four letters. That's true. So Dino will be testifying. I will be there, and I'll be available if I'm called upon. And Adam will be, he'll be up there on stage doing what he does. We're looking forward to that. 901-3000-TOM. That is our telephone number. All right, let's say hi to Rod in Winnetka, California. Rod, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Tom, Adam, good evening.
Hey, Rod, what's going on?
Question, is it true that if you get a marijuana card, you cannot buy a gun or ammunition in California?
This is something that is, there's apparently a court case that happened with this specific issue.
Okay.
I would say, theoretically, the answer is no. I think that one should have nothing to do with the other. And if you have a marijuana prescription, it seems to me that that's just something between you and your doctor. I don't know that that's supposed to be part of any central database and that makes you a dangerous criminal or something like that. Generally speaking, the Second Amendment to the Constitution guarantees the right to bear arms, which is the right to have a gun or a rifle or whatever. And there are certain limitations on someone who's got convictions or a felony or a restraining order against them, things like that. But broadly speaking, if you're a regular person, you haven't done anything wrong, if you have a marijuana prescription, that doesn't say anything negative about you, you should be able to get a gun.
All right. So I guess as long as no one gets a DUI for that, you should be okay.
DUI is a different issue. If you have a conviction and it hasn't been expunged, I'd say that works against you. You know, they say they're trying to keep guns out of the hands of felons and so forth. But you know perfectly well that a criminal can buy a gun on the street and get it, you know, right away and no problem. And a law-abiding citizen is going to apply, and they've got these cooling-off periods and waiting periods and background checks, and they're going to even put background checks now on ammunition, and it's much more difficult now to buy weapons over the Internet. They made that more complicated. They made a whole thing about buying weapons at gun shows more complicated.
Right.
So, I don't know. You know, there's been big rushes on the purchase of guns, and I actually went by a gun store a couple of weeks ago to sign a petition. They were doing them at gun stores, and the line was like Star Wars. It was like a blockbuster out the door of people waiting to buy guns. So if you want a gun, you should probably buy one, because who knows, these things are getting chipped away at. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. No, I don't use marijuana, but I was just curious because I heard that, and I was just very curious to know if that was true or not.
Well, I think, Tom, weren't you a little paranoid at one point to get a marijuana license? You thought that maybe it would be put somewhere, you know, or used against you?
Well, we had years of conservative governors like George Duke and Pete Wilson.
Right.
And you never know. Look how we just had Donald Trump elected, for example. You never know.
Anything is possible.
It is possible. And how do you know that they're not going to say, we don't care what California says.
Right.
We want that list of all the names on the list. You never know when that's going to happen. Now, I went and took the big step because we've had Jerry Brown, and Jerry Brown's never going to do anything about it. But Jerry Brown is 80 years old, and one of these days...
Is he really? Is he 80?
He's up there.
There's
I mean,
he
was governor in the 70s,
right.
And then again now.
Yeah, I know that. There's always these issues that come up in family law, as an example, where the mother will make a claim that the father shouldn't see the kids because he's a heavy drinker or because he has a marijuana license or whatever, so he smokes a lot of weed or whatever. But again, I really don't think that these things are going to be so dramatic. The dramatic thing is if you've been arrested for DUI or if you were arrested for trafficking in narcotics or prescription drug or whatever abuse. I think that, marijuana at one time was, the killer weed. And I think that today I think people think a lot more rationally about it. And they recognize that it has, medicinal properties and so forth. And so I'd be very surprised.
You answered a question. That's great.
Sure.
Well, thanks. You guys have a great evening.
Good talking to you.
Rod, thank you. Appreciate the call. With Adam Sachs, 901-3000 Tom. Let's say hi here to Tony. Tony is on the 2 freeway on the Tom Likas show. Hello.
Hello, Dad.
Hello, son.
Hey, Tony. What's up?
Hey, Adam. How you doing?
Cool.
All right. So I called a couple of months ago. Pretty much I had this – it was when Tom was doing what have you dealt with as far as cops being assholes or things like that. And I called in to talk about a case that I was accused from being a bystander. Somebody had pointed me out and said it was that guy for an alleged crime that had happened. And I went to court, and after about a year of fighting it, the DA actually dismissed the charges because I was proven at a different place at the time of the crime. I had a video of me sitting down at Denny's, eating with a couple of buddies of mine at the time that the 911 call came in.
Really?
Yeah.
So you were supposed to be a witness? So you were actually involved in the crime, supposedly?
Allegedly, I was the one that committed the crime.
Oh, wow. Even worse.
Yeah. So,
but ultimately, they didn't prosecute it? They just dismissed it?
Yeah, they dismissed it because I had more than enough evidence putting me somewhere else.
Excellent.
But now, fast forward 3 years later, there's a... It's been like about a month now. I got a letter in the mail saying that my license had been revoked because I failed to appear in court, and the other side had a default granted on their side.
For what?
it's a civil for damages, for the alleged damages that I committed.
Well, I don't know if you heard in our last hour, we were talking about service of process. And this is the same exact thing. If there was a civil case, aside from the criminal case, then for you to have been a party, you needed to have been served. They can't just suspend your thing. I mean, you must have gotten documents or something.
No, what happened was, because the day I got the letter, I actually went to the court the day after to go view the file that they had there. And I was looking through the service papers, and they served papers to an address that I haven't lived at for a couple of years now. So, and when I spoke to the law offices of the other side, the guy even told me over the phone, like, what do you mean we didn't serve you? We ran your license. And then later on, he kind of said that, they went only based off of the police report.
Uh-huh. So you had a license with your old address on it?
Well, I had updated a couple of years ago with the DMV.
All right. Well, it's strange. Some of what you're doing, though, you're calling these law firms and you're going to court and looking at the files and stuff. I think you're crossing over into a place that you really need to get yourself a lawyer, okay? You shouldn't be doing things like calling law firms on your own. It's like being a guppy and swimming with sharks,
Okay.
Obviously, they've done something where they got some kind of a default against you. And I don't know how much money it is, but it could be significant. They can start enforcing it, like the reason you're losing your license or whatever. And so there's definitely some things to be sorted out. If they served the wrong address, I don't know who they served. There's some person there they had to have served. Someone said it was you or something. I mean, I don't know. That's weird.
It is weird, but it's already been sorted out. And I actually have a copy of a letter that they sent the DMV. Telling the DMV that they made a mistake and that my license should be restored.
Uh-huh.
And the DMV pretty much turned around and said, we can't restore his license until it is cleared through court.
Uh-huh.
And they gave me a stipulation, and they said, go ahead and sign it, and you'll get your license back. And that's when I went and hired an attorney to review it. And the reason why I'm calling, I'm trying to get another side to see if, Is there any damages that I can that you see just from the little that you've heard regarding this case? Because it's been affecting my life a lot.
It's crazy. I think it's complicated, but I think I can take a look at it. Give me a call after the show, and maybe there's something we can do. It just seems really weird. So, Tom, see how critical service of process is, Tom?
Absolutely.
He's saying he never got the papers. They get served on his old address and some guy who looked like him or whatever. Remember what Michael was talking about, the process server, how a lot of people just, serve stuff, just drop it on the front door and leave, And so that's problematic because this gentleman's saying that he never got it and then they got a default. And, I mean, years later, how can you sort this out after a while?
Absolutely. All right, good call. Thank you, Tony. Let's say hi here to John in Lake Forest, California. John, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, John.
How's it going, Tom and Adam? Sorry, I put on my seatbelt. Hang on.
Okay.
I just got into my car.
All right.
What's up?
Just have a question in regards to the guy that called about being able to get a gun.
Right.
While having the marijuana license.
Yeah, there was a case about that. I think it went to the Superior Court or the Supreme Court of California, and there was something about this where they were affecting the gun rights based on the fact that he, I think he had convictions for marijuana possession. I think, but I understand the idea of the license and everything. So, what's your question?
Because I bought a gun not that long ago, and one of the questions specifically was if you had a medical marijuana license.
Really?
On there.
They actually asked you that directly?
Yeah, so they asked you that directly, and I put no, which I do have one, because from my understanding, according to like the Americans with Disability Act,
yeah,
you can't disclose, you know, that kind of information.
Right, right, right.
So is there really a way for them to find out if you have one or
I
not?
Don't think so. I don't think they have a central database or anything like that. I know that my doctor wrote me a prescription, and that's in his computer, but I don't think that the state has a list of those people. And I did not know that they would ask you that. That's incredible.
Yeah, they asked you on there, and that's like one of my big concerns.
How do you like that, Tom?
Proposition that passed.
That's amazing. See, and that's why people ask these questions, because they're having experiences.
So you said no, and I guess you got your gun, but I wonder what would have happened if you had said yes.
Yeah, because like, what the hell? And then, you know, I'm concerned with this whole, you know, I know it doesn't take effect until 2018, but in regards to the ammunition, I mean, what the hell? They're not going to sell me ammunition if I have a medical marijuana card, and it's technically legal now. So, I mean, it's just like so many unanswered questions, you know, in regards to that, because I definitely don't want to, you know, be banned from buying a gun because I have a medical marijuana card.
I'm with you all the way.
Equivalent of buying alcohol nowadays, you know, it's pretty stupid, but. Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, call and just check with that, because I know specifically there was a question on there saying,
do you
have a medical marijuana?
I'm going to. Thanks for telling me that. No. I think right now, because this proposition was, you know, just passed, that it's a little unsettled how it's going to be, you know, put into place and everything. And I will look into this, and I'll figure out what the story is more specifically. I think you're okay having a marijuana card, but if they're going to screw around with people, I'm going to get to the bottom of that, and I will talk about that in the future on another show.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it, Adam.
All right, John.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Do we have another break here, Mikey? No. Okay, Adam, tell everybody how they can get in touch with you.
Well, you can call me toll-free, 800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check me out on Facebook and also on the World Wide Web at www.adamlawyer.com. And you can send me email, adam@adamlawyer.com, which I love and I answer personally.
Sounds good to me. All right. Now, if you missed any part of Adam, and Adam did 2 hours here, but he'll be coming back for another bonus hour. It's coming back, coming up on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Brutal honesty is just a phone call away. Attorneys are standing by. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
Yes.
Fat Barbie has arrived. They
say
literally,
that three times.
They literally have, I guess they've modeled it after this Ashley Graham, this plus sizer.
Right, to capitalize on the fat trend.
So they actually have a picture of her, and then it's the picture that they modeled the Fat Barbie after. She's wearing the same dress and everything. I don't think they call her Fat Barbie, though.
No, I don't think so. Aspirational Barbie, maybe.
Well, there's nothing wrong with a big ass. But I don't, I don't think they're even allowed to even make,
way.
No, I'm saying they even, like, point out that there's a difference. She's just Barbie. She's just Barbie, like, you know, after she's packed on a few. You know, she's like,
so you call her Got like, Bigger Barbie?
Yeah, Got Bigger Barbie.
Okay.
Freshman in college Barbie. Yeah, I don't know if there's a real name, but Fat Barbie.
Junk in the trunk.
Right. Crazy situation in the UK. A man who posed as a doctor secretly filmed himself having sex with Muslim women. And you know what their deal is. They're not supposed to be having sex. And then he blackmailed them by saying he was going to post the footage online and send it to their families. So you had all these girls who thought, number one, that they were sleeping with a doctor. And number two, they were getting away with having sex secretly.
You gotta see Farhan.
Farhan means it, dude.
Farhan rides a moron.
He got away with it for quite some time, but then finally it was just too much for some of these girls. He was like asking for their possessions and all kinds of shit. He'd be like, "Hey, that jewelry you got, that's mine now too."
Right.
So much for that.
He's that shoddy website, man.
Yeah.
It worked. Shahadi.
That Alexa Panavega says that sex is better when you're trying to have a baby. She says this in the latest issue of Fit Pregnancy.
Oh, that's a little weird, though.
What?
The
Fit Pregnancy?
Yeah. There's an issue for it.
I was going to bust balls on it, but it's really encouraging women to stay in shape while they're pregnant, which is probably a good thing. But she said that sex became so much more intimate, beautiful, and passionate when they were trying. Suddenly you realize, oh, my God, we could be starting another life when you shoot your jizz into me. That part she didn't. It says she brought it. It brought us much closer.
Much closer.
Yeah.
That's the Spy Kids chick.
By the way, and she, you know, she's looking all right. Not half bad.
Because she's fit pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Why do some women make noise during sex and others don't?
It's a moaning issue.
New study tries to crack down on it. They studied 71 sexually active heterosexual women between the ages of 18 and 48 for more details about the vocalization during sex. Researchers found that many of the women did make noise, but not necessarily while they were having an orgasm. Instead, 66% said they moaned to speed up their partner's climax. 87, listen to this number, 87% stated that they vocalized during sex to boost his self-esteem.
Wow.
I mean, they could have gotten hit.
Please don't be doing it for me. You're like not doing anybody any favors.
No. All these percentages don't bode well for dudes.
Yeah. While female orgasms were most commonly experienced during foreplay, copulatory vocalizations were reported to be made most often before and simultaneously with male ejaculation. So, in other words, they're making the noise while you're unloading.
Right.
Yeah. So I'd be suspicious of any broad that like, you know, overly vocalizes. I find it annoying. Just shut up.
Stop.
Please.
Please.
Stop.
Plenty more news for guys.com. And, of course, you can find our podcast at GaryAndDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
Sorry, I put on my seatbelt. Hang on.